This message was recorded at the Redeemed Christian Church of God Salvation Center, where we're maximizing potential and fulfilling destiny. We pray you'll be blessed as you listen to the following message.
Lord, of a truth, you have been good to us. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind, and shouldn't be in anyone's mind, about your greatness and about your goodness. Jehovah, we appreciate you. Lord, as we look into your word of life this morning, Jehovah, please speak to us. Open our eyes of understanding that we may behold your glory in the name of Jesus. That they encourage us, exhort us, where there's need for rebuke, rebuke us in the name of Jesus. At the end of the day, let it be said that we have been with you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today we're continuing with the sermon series that we started last week, and we called it My Year of Resurgence. My Year of Resurgence. And I would like to simply or quickly define right here what exactly is resurgence. What is resurgence? Resurgence is simply a continuing after an interruption. So something was happening and then it was interrupted for a little bit and nothing happened. And then afterwards, something begins to happen. You say there is a resurgence. Amen. So let's say there's been an epidemic in the past that has been overcome. And then all of a sudden, the epidemic comes by. Say there's a resurgence of this condition. Amen. But thank God we are not talking about an epidemic. We're talking about the power and the grace of God upon our lives. Resurgence can also be described as a restoration to use or acceptance, activity, or a restoration of vigor, a revival. My prayer for us today is that this year and beyond, the Lord will revive us. I say the Lord will revive you. In the name of Jesus, Jehovah will revive me in the mighty name of Jesus. In the year 2016, our prayer is that there will be a resurgence of the power of God, the grace of God. There will be a resurgence of hope and a resurgence of your dreams in the mighty name of Jesus. Believe me, many dreams are now in the cooler. Amen. Many dreams have been set aside. Because we cannot see how those things can be realized anymore. But I want to say to somebody today that your dream is not dead. Oh, I say your dream is not dead in the mighty name of Jesus. And we're studying the life of Joseph. We're studying the life of Joseph to understand resurgence in our lives. And the last time I told us, I said for Joseph, there are four P's that represent the time of interruption in his life, and then suddenly there was a resurgence. Because Joseph, at the beginning of his life, he had a very good life. The father loved him to pieces. He just loved him. And he didn't care who was upset by it. He showed his love and his passion for his dear son Joseph. Why? Because Joseph is the son of his beloved wife. You know, and because the wife died sooner than expected, I guess that even empowered his love for Joseph. And so I told us we're going to be looking at the four P's, and we looked at the pit last time. And as we were concluding, I said something to us last week that I would like to remind us of today. I would like to remind us of this fact that the plan of God for your life is not predicated on people liking you. The purpose of God for your life, for my life, is not based on who likes me and who doesn't like me. Joseph, we have seen from the scripture, from our study the last time, that he was hated by his brothers. And I showed us from scripture, Leah was hated. The Bible says, because Leah was hated, God opened her womb. In fact, her breakthrough was like a direct consequence of the hatred they had for her. Because the Bible says, because they hated Leah, God opened her womb. God will make a way for you in the mighty name of Jesus. If you remember the story of Mordecai, there was a man called Haman that hated Mordecai with a passion. And it was his hatred. In fact, Mordecai was riding upon the wave of that hatred, even to his own greatness. It really does not matter who loves you and who hates you. The program of God is not predicated on people hating you or liking you. David was hated. The king Saul sought to kill him. I don't think you seek to kill your friend or somebody you love. So that tells me there was some kind of jealousy, hatred, or something going on there, and he sought to kill him. And you know the story of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all of those, they hated him with a passion. They hated, it was bad business for them. Because the deliverance they were charging money for, he was doing it for free. Why are you wasting anointing? Let's collect money. You know, he was just healing and delivering people of their of whatever was holding them down. Amen. God will deliver you. You will go free. I say you will go free in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, things may not look exactly the way you had anticipated, but God will make a way for you in the name of Jesus. The problems of Joseph seemed like it started the moment he got a dream. Amen. The brothers had hated him, you know, but they could still deal with him. But the moment he started sharing dreams with them, the Bible says he shared his first dream. He said they hated him the more. It was like the intensity of the hatred was multiplied. Amen. Sometimes the reason why you go through the challenges you go through in life is exactly that, because you have a purpose and God has a plan for your life. And the enemy is not happy with you, and it will do all kinds of things to lure you outside of the purpose of God for your life. And I want to talk about dream for a little bit, and then we'll come back, because it's so central to the life of Joseph. Joseph, the moment he started sharing his dream, everything changed for him. And this is a warning for us as well. There are certain things God has laid on your heart. It's not for general knowledge yet. Maybe for specific people, specific individuals who can pray along with you. You know, but the moment you start talking about it, and I know there are some of us, you have identified this in your life. I've had people say this to me before, that the problem I have had is when God gives me an idea, the moment I share it with somebody, all of a sudden, everything starts backing up. Nothing is happening anymore. You know, so God is teaching us discretion. You know, it's not everything you tell. It's not the Bible says one of the ways you know a fool is a fool tells it all. Everything. He tells everything. My prayer for you is that you will not be a fool in the name of Jesus. So what is a dream? A dream is a cherished aspiration or ambition. A cherished aspiration or ambition. It's not a definition specific to me. It's a dictionary definition. Say, a dream is a cherished aspiration, ambition, or an ideal. Or an ideal. I want to read. This will shock you. This will shock you because we have benefit of hindsight now. I want to read a few quotes to you that will probably help you position things in your mind and position things for yourself. In 1962, the recording company executive heard about a new band coming on in the British scene. The executive had serious doubts at the possibility of their success. And this is what he said, and I quote. He said, "We don't think the Beatles, you know the Beatles, will do anything in their market. Guitar groups are on their way out." It was after he said this that the Beatles top the charts everywhere. You may not like that because that's worldly, right? Okay, let's look at Thomas G. Watson. Thomas G. Watson. Thomas G. Watson was the chairman of the board of IBM in 1943. The chairman of the board of IBM in 1943. And with all confidence in the world, he once said, listen to this. In all confidence, he said, I think there is a world market for about 5 computers. Because the IBM was a happening thing then. Typewriter. You know, when the idea of computer came up, he could not wrap his head around it. He said there's probably only market for 5 computers in the whole world. You know why? We might count him for a fool now, but if you understand what he was talking about, then you will cut him some slack. The computers they had back in those days were mainframes. One of those computers can just fill this whole entire sanctuary. One computer. If that was the nature of computers, would you have one? So that was the sense with which he was speaking. But you see, when you allow difficulties and impossibilities to be the premise where you start from, you will not go far in life. All the offers that were made to IBM, IBM turned them down. You know why? Because they didn't see a future for computers. IBM today is struggling. Listen to this, a third one. A man named Lee DeForest invented the cathode ray tube in 1926. How many people know what cathode ray tube is? All my physicists and... In 1926, and when asked about the possibilities of that invention, he remarked, listen, theoretically, television may be feasible, maybe, but I consider it an impossibility, a development which will be a waste, which will waste little time dreaming about. He did not see the possibility of an invention of the television. Television has since moved from cathode ray tubes now, you know, to plasma, LED, you know, technology has moved it forward. You say, Pastor, why are you telling telling us all of these things? Because many people, you have ideas that are crazy, and you say, this is too crazy, it's not possible. Don't be a Thomas Watson. And don't be a DeForest. He himself invented the cathode ray tube, you know, that showed that a possibility existed here, but he doubted himself. It reminds me of the head of the patent office, the director of the patent office in the 1800s. He quit his job, not for scandal. He quit his job. He said, I believe everything that can be invented or patented have been discovered and there's no need for my office anymore. He quit. He said, no. All the inventions that we have now, that's all we're going to have. I want you to raise up your right hand. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, that great potential inside of me, let it come forth. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I pray it will come forth. I pray it will bring forth. In the name of Jesus. Listen to me. There are two types of people in the world. You have the dreamers and you have the scoffers. When you share it, they go. You listen to the scoffers, you terminate your dream. The brothers of Joseph could not imagine. They said, are you saying that we'll be bowing down to you? You little brat that is always tattletaling on us? You? If God is going to use people, it's not people like you. Friends, our scripture of the month, John 12, verse 24, says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it will dare fall and die, it will bring forth much fruit." We must die to self if we're going to accomplish anything great for God. And that's why we fight. We resist dying. We don't want to die. He said, "I have always done it like that. I'm used to that. That's just who I am." But God is saying, die to self. God is saying, "I have a great purpose. I have a great plan for you. You have to die to self. I cannot use you the way you are. You must die to self." A seed has great potentials. Unless that seed dies, it will just remain a potential. Amen? A potential is an energy that is available, but it's not usable. Because it's just potential. It's buried. My prayer is that God will activate you. God will stimulate you. And you will come forth with the great potential that are buried inside of you. In the name of Jesus. So let's get to our study very quickly. And we're going to wrap things up today on this study. So we saw the first P. We saw the pit. If you were not here last time, I will encourage that you get the CD or you go to download the podcast on your phone, podbean.com, or through the app, through our church app, you can listen to sermons. Amen. So one of the questions I asked myself is, why did the brothers of Joseph hate him so much? Very simple. Number one is jealousy. Number one is jealousy. When your life begins to show great potential, you just automatically develop some simple enemies. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 4, Genesis 37 verse 4 says, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him." It's plain clear. The scripture tells us that. They were jealous. Number two reason why they hated him with a passion. They hated him because of his dreams. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 8. Genesis 37 verse 8. "They hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." So if you are showing a great future ahead of you and people are opposed to you, don't be sad. It's all part of the package. You are going somewhere great. That's why. Nobody is angry with a loser. They just leave him and say, "That one." As long as they can tell him, send him on errands and tell him what to do, and he's running errands for them, they're happy. But the moment you start showing signs of a great place, there's a problem. When you read from Genesis 37, 23 to 36, well, we won't be reading that. The Bible tells us how they sold him into slavery. You know, one of the things that really bothered me with his brothers is the Bible says they threw him in the pit and they sat down to eat and to drink. Such callousness. Such callousness. The Lord will not give you over to your enemies. In the name of Jesus. It's not a good place to be. So they sold him. They sold him to the Ishmaelites. And the Ishmaelites took him to Egypt and sold him in Egypt to Potiphar. You know what you may not understand about the, you know, when they say he was sold as a slave, you know, you may not really understand what that means. It is a serious humiliation. Because back in the day, when they are selling slaves, you know what they do to them? They strip them. They take them to the marketplace. You know, people come to auction. It's like an auction. So they come to the auction. So they strip them. Yes. Butt naked. You know, and they say, "Turn around, turn around." And then they will say, "Look at him. He has muscle. He has traction. He's still going to go far. He will serve you a long time." And then they start bidding on him. You know, this one, $1. $2, 20 shekels, 10 shekels. Do you understand what I'm saying? Can you imagine such humiliation? Can you imagine such humiliation that he had to endure? So they sold him, and eventually he ended up in Potiphar's house. And the second P is Potiphar. He ended up in Potiphar's house, and this is where we're going to take it today. So Genesis chapter 39 from verse 1, I'm just going to read through all the way to 13, and then we'll take a few lessons from there. Genesis 39 from verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph. If the Bible you are reading is your own, underline that. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. Underline that too. The master, the unbeliever, the unsaved one, the Bible says, even the master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him. And he made him an overseer over all his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. If that Bible is your own, underline that too. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then, underline this, how then can I do this great wickedness? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Verse 10, and it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, underline that too, is she kept pulling him day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or even to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she made up story. We'll stop there. Amen? So this is a story I'm pretty sure many of us are familiar with. So Joseph got to Egypt, and God positioned this man to buy him. Why? Because it was all in God's providence. Amen. God had a plan for the life of Joseph. And his life seemingly went from bad to worse, and from worse to the worst that it can be. And it seemed like instead of his life making progress, his life was going backwards. Think about it. Joseph was loved by his father, so much so that the father made him coat of many colors. Initially, Joseph went to the field, you know, with his brothers to feed the flock. But God, the Bible tells us that the father withdrew him from the field and kept him in the house because he didn't want any harm to come upon him. He loved him very specially. He said, his mother is dead. I don't want anything to happen to him. He reminds me of my beautiful wife. Amen. And then he moves from there. They threw him in the pit. We said the pit was empty, dark, and there was no water in it. You know, he said, okay, maybe that's a little suffering for a little bit. But from the pit, he became a slave. He became a slave. But listen to this. Listen to this. There are a few lessons we must learn from the life of Joseph. The number one lesson you must learn is that you are not a mistake and you are right there where God wants you to be right now. I'll say that again. You are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. And you are right there, right where God wants you to be at this time. You see, the problem is when we don't accept our station in life in the moment, the frustration of that station will cause you to begin to complain. You begin to almost blame God. What did I do this for? You know, and I have so many stories I can tell you about my time, about myself, that time will not permit. I almost blamed God because I was miserable when I came to America. I'm like, why did I even agree to come to this America? I'm serious. Why did I come? What am I doing? Look at what has become of my life. Amen? Because I went ahead and joined the military. You know, and I was in the military with small boys that didn't know their right from their left. You know, it was a mess. It was a mess. It was so bad that in boot camp, I would be having nightmares. Okay, you can laugh. You go and join. But you know, okay, you are adjusted to this system already. You know, my wife was explaining to me, and then when we go to the airport and places, she'll be showing me, you say, you see that, you see that. You know, the first thing that was the most ridiculous thing they asked us to do for me, from my perspective, is everybody sit on the floor. I said, I'm a professor. I don't even tell my students to sit on the floor. We all sat on the floor. I was not prepared for that. I was prepared for the running and the push-up and the sit-up. And those were things I was working hard on. But psychologically, I was not prepared. And then they were yelling. I'm like, okay, I heard you the first time. I heard it the first time. You know, what I'm telling you now, I went to approach the chaplain to tell him I quit. Because I was the order. I said, I quit. I can't do this. I can't do this. The reason I'm in San Antonio today talking to you is because the military brought me here. Right there where you are, please stop complaining and say, Lord, what would you have me do? You are right where he wants you. The suffering you are suffering is pruning you for where he's taking you. If God would not have permitted it, there's nothing the devil can do about it. Number two thing you must learn from the life of Joseph. When Joseph got to the house of Potiphar, clearly, even though the Bible does not tell us, he did not think about the number one. He did not think he was in the wrong place. He did not think that this is a mistake. How could God have allowed this to happen to him? He was not thinking like that. Because even in Potiphar's house as a slave, he excelled. The reason many people are not excelling or thriving is because they remember who they used to be. They are living in the past. You know, sometimes I watch TV. Not all the time, but sometimes I do. Especially when I find a show that I like. And I know there are some of you like that here too. How many of you have seen Empire? Don't be ashamed. There's an old lady in that series that she used to be the best of the recording artists for that company, you know, but she had lost it because of drugs and all kinds of things. You know, and they are trying to rehabilitate her. She's acting as though she's still this superstar. The person told him, I said, I know you used to be a super megastar. Said, but right now, you are not. We are trying to help you come back up. So put all your hang-ups, put them down. This is where you are now. Friends, you have to accept where you are right now. Amen? Stop saying, oh, I remember if he was back in Nigeria, where I was, oh, you are not in Nigeria. Breaking news. Yeah, are you Nigeria? This is not, does it look like Nigeria to you? Have they taken light? Is the faucet, is the water running in the faucet? Wake up. You are not in Nigeria. It may be an inconvenient place that you are in, but God is using that inconvenience to prepare you for where he's taking you. Joseph, secondly, he was confident that God has not forsaken him. The fact that I am suffering does not mean God has left me. Jesus suffered for you and I. Before he got to the cross, when the sin came upon him, God was still with him. All the time they were beating him and scourging him, God was with him. He was on the cross when the sin of the world came upon him. That's why he said, my father, my why hast thou forsaken me? But prior to that, all the suffering he suffered, God was there with him and he allowed him to suffer. He didn't deliver him. He didn't send angels. He himself did not call angels. So the fact that you are suffering does not mean God has left you. It does not mean God is not with you. Use your suffering for the glory of God. Joseph, even though from the affluent life he had, he's now below ground zero, is a slave. A slave does not own anything. A slave is a property. He, from being a son, he became a slave. From being cherished, he became an object. A property was all he was. You know, many people, they have succeeded in the past, but they have lost certain things, certain privileges that has made life a little bit difficult at this time. Listen to me. Listen to me. What you have lost, God is able to give you 10 times better everything you have lost. I'm telling you the truth. God is positioning you for what you have absolutely no idea. If they asked Joseph, listen, if you were Joseph and they asked you, would you want to be your father's favorite son or be the prime minister of the whole world? Which one would you choose? When he became the prime minister, did he not bring his father? Did the father not come back into his life? Was he not the favorite of his father all over again? They will have rotted in their village where they were in Hebron. Of hunger. Everybody would have died of hunger. The mission that God had for him was a global mission. The mission his father had for him was a tribal vision. Because even if the father gave him all of his inheritance, he would just be the champion of his tribe. But God wanted to take him to the world and use him worldwide. Your resistance today, you are only doing yourself if you are resisting God. You know why? Everything you don't know, he knows. And he has a plan for your life and for my life. I want you to tap your neighbor. Say, God is with you. Tap them again. Tap the other one. Say, everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Amen? Genesis 39 and verse 2. Listen to this. Genesis 39 and verse 2. The Bible says, and the Lord was with who? As a slave. As a slave. As a slave, God understood all the deprivation in his life, and God was with him. He did not deliver him. He didn't deliver him. Why? Because he's going through a process. A process. A process. You see, if you are thinking too much about the past, you can't see the future. Listen to this. A person that is driving and is just fixated on the rear view mirror, what's going to happen? It's going to crash. You said it right. It's not a trick question. It's a straight question. If all you are looking at is what is happening behind or the side view mirror, that car is going to crash. It's just a matter of time. Take your eyes off the rear view mirror. Look at the rear view mirror is meant for glances. You remember where you're coming from and then face forward. Keep your eyes on the mark of the high calling, where God is taking you, where God is leading you. The Bible says, forgetting the things that are behind. Forget the things that are behind. Yes, you have suffered. Oh, your daddy was not there. I understand. Okay, your mommy was not there. Okay, I understand. But move away from that. You can't change the past. You can't change the past. This is you now. This is you today. This is you today. And God is with you. In spite of everything, the Bible says, and God, yes, and God was with Joseph, and God prospered everything. It made him a prosperous man. And not only that, you see, when you, I used to be this way, that's why I can talk about it. I used to be this way. When I'm dealing with people and they are talking anyhow to me, in my heart I'm just thinking, it's not your fault. It's because I came to America. If I was in my place in Nigeria, a fool like you would not be talking to me like that. I'm telling you the honor. We are in church now. I can't lie. I shouldn't lie outside. I don't. You understand? But listen to this. In my heart, I'm just thinking, yeah, it's the rain. It's the rain that fell. That caused all the different birds to take cover under the roof. I say, it's the rain. It's not your fault. It's the rain. It's the rain. It's the rain. It's the rain. And then maybe sometime during the week, you know, some of my friends from Nigeria that are now full professors, making big bucks. Now they will call me and say, Kwee, how are you? How's everything? This and that and that and that. And I say, we thank God. We thank God. We thank God. Listen, as long as I was thinking like that, I could not make progress. Because I'm thinking of what could have been, I'm not looking forward. But there is a great future ahead of me. I am not a mistake. I'm not an accident. It was all in his plan and in his purpose. Go with his flow, not your flow. Go with his flow. Don't be stuck in the past, and don't be stuck even in the present, because there's a tomorrow that is better than your today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I asked myself the question, and listen to this. I said, Lord, why is it that Joseph had to go through this? Listen close to this. Listen close to this. You know the story of Joseph. You know the end of the story. So there's no suspense in this story. You know the end. Joseph became the administrator of the strongest nation in the then known world. Yes? That saved the whole of the population of the then known world. Because Egypt was the one that provided food. Here's what the Lord told me. The reason he went to Potiphar's house was, number one, to learn administration. The Bible says they put all the slaves. He said, everything my master has, he put in my care. God took him there to learn how to, number one, manage people and manage resources. Where you are right now that you are calling suffering, God has positioned you to learn certain lessons, to learn certain things that will be useful for you in your future. But you are busy thinking about what you have been. You are busy thinking about where you had been. You are worried about what you used to do. But God is saying, learn this lesson for now, because you are going to need it in the future. Joseph learned everything that he needed to learn, and he excelled in it. He was so successful as a slave. He handled his master's business very well. He didn't handle it like, this is not my own, I'm just doing it for him. You know, even in church sometimes, the way people handle church property, you can tell that it's not their own because they've not handled their own like that. I always say some people will come and take care of it. You know, I don't eat in my house and throw paper on the floor and all of this. People will come to join, you know, some the sanctuary cleaners will come clean it. God was teaching him a lesson. Thank God he learned the lesson. That is why when he moved to the next P, I'm almost out of time. When he moved to his next P, which was prison, look at the lesson. Before we jump, let's. So, when you are in transition, listen to this. When you are in transition, like Joseph has been in transition from the pit to Potiphar's house, he's been in transition. To prison, he was still in transition, which is the third P. Listen to this. When you are in transition, you will be tested. You'll be tested. Because God is interested in what is in your heart. Amen? That is why Potiphar's wife offered herself to him on a platter. God was with him. And you notice his response. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? It was not about his master. He was working for God. He was following God. What's your angle? You are born again. You are saved. Do you understand that this matter is between you and God? Do you understand that he sees and he knows everything? Do you understand that you cannot pretend for God? Do you understand? What's your angle? The Bible says, he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? His focus was God. Is your focus God? Or yourself? Pleasure. So if I do it, nobody will know. Yeah, nobody knows, but God knows. You know, people are so worried and concerned about, oh, my supervisor will not know, my pastor will not know, my head of department doesn't know. You are worried about the wrong things. You are worried about the wrong things. If you are living in sin, and the Lord has not revealed it to me, and you are acting well, and we keep praising you, and you say, what a wonderful brother, what a brother, wonderful sister. All those acclamation is just to the roof and down. It doesn't get to God. You cannot impress God in sin. He said, how can I do this great wickedness? He considered fornication great wickedness against God. Any kind of immorality, any kind of sin. He said, how can I do this and sin against God? He couldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He said, no, I can't. I can't. I can't do it. I can't do it. And guess what? He did not discuss it with her. He was not. And did you notice? The Bible says day after day, she was begging him. Lie with me now. Some people. Just say one time. Say, okay. At least this will be, it will add to my credibility in the home. If I'm sleeping, lying with the master's wife, you know, I'm in charge of everything already. Then it means I'm at the same level with my master. No, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. Because he understood that my life does not consist of my immediate pleasure and satisfaction. He understood that there's a great place I am going. I can't mess it up with this stupidity of right now. This foolishness of right now, I can't do it. I can't do it. Give my body to you. No, I'm not married to you. I'm not going to do it. Say, I will not do this great wickedness. And you see what he did? You saw what the scripture says? The Bible says she grabbed his garment. You know what he did? Take it. And he took off running. You know what the scripture says? The Bible says, flee fornication. He didn't say negotiate your way out of fornication. He said flee. It means take off and run. If your body is doing zim zim with somebody you are not married with, why do you want to continue to be around that person and put yourself in a vulnerable position? That is stupidity. I said, I just fell. You didn't fall. You dived. Headlong. You jumped. You jumped into it. I fell. Which fall? Who tripped you? What tripped you that you fell? You didn't fall. You jumped into it. You were already feeling woozy and you know. And he said, come visit me. Then you two, you went to visit. I said, I wonder, don't wonder. You have been foolish enough. Just pack your bag and run. And run, just run. Just run. He left his garment and he took off. And then he went to the prison. You read all of this in Genesis 39 and Genesis 40. Listen to this. In prison, the Bible said further that and God was with him, even in prison. You know why? He never compromised. When you compromise, you remove yourself from God's presence. When you compromise. In prison, God was still with him. And you know how you will know that this guy does not define his life by his immediate circumstances. Even in prison, guess what? It was the one that saw the people that were not happy. In prison. He said, why are you of dull countenance? You know, why? Why are you sad? Why are you sad? He himself, so he went from being a son to a slave. He's now a slave prisoner. His case was so totally bad, almost irredeemable. A slave that is now a prisoner. It was over for him. But you see, those things did not perturb him. He was not disturbed by those things. He knew clearly that God has a plan for his life, and he was very focused about it. He was very focused. So he saw the people that were sad. He said, what's your problem? Both of them had dreamt, and they didn't know the meaning of their dream, and interpreted their dream for him. So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why did he have to go to prison? If he has learned all the administration, why did he go to prison? He said, well, he continued the administrative training in prison. Because in prison, everything was put in his care still. And then, you know, we know he had been dreaming, but we have never been told that he ever interpreted a dream. So when he went to prison, God was honing his gift of interpretation of dreams. Listen to this. If he interpreted the dream in prison and the dreams didn't come to pass, what's the consequence? Oh, no, they are all prisoners. So, you slap him. You interpreted dream. There's no consequence. Can you imagine it goes before the king and the king dreamt a dream and then he interprets the dream and the dream does not come to pass the way he has said? What do you think will happen? Off with his head. I am almost sure that was not the only dream he interpreted ever. But it was a significant one to be reported. And one important thing happened. After the interpretation, the one he said they would kill was killed. The one he said would be released was released. When they were releasing the one that they will release, he said to him, he said, please, when you get out there, don't forget me. Look at your neighbor. Say, vain is the help of man. The Bible says for 2 full years he forgot about him. He was too excited when he was released. There are many people that have forgotten about you today. You too forget them. Stop worrying. I can't believe that he forgot me. If he has forgotten, you too forget him. It's very simple, but remember God. Remember God. God is the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the one that can help you. He's your a present help in time of need. A present help in time of trouble. He said God will help you, and that right early. He trusted the man for 2 years. The man failed him. But God came through for him. The fourth P is the palace. God will bring you to your destined place. Amen. I said Jehovah will bring you to your destined place. Why don't you rise to your feet this afternoon as we close in prayer? Lift up both hands to heaven and take this song with me. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench This thirsting of my soul, bread of heaven, fill me till I want.
Fill my cup, I lift it up, and make me whole.
I want you to pray this afternoon and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I have heard your word. Father, cleanse me, purge me by the blood of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray that the Lord will purge you. The Lord, by the blood, it will cleanse you. It will cleanse you. It will cleanse you. That you may see clearly. That you may see clearly. That you may know and understand the purpose and the plan of God for your life. In the name of Jesus. Say, Father, cleanse me. Cleanse me. Cleanse me. Cleanse me. Cleanse my eyes. Purge my spirit. Purge my soul. Purge me, O Lord. Purge me, King of glory, in the mighty name of Jesus. Purge me, Lord. Purge me, purge me, purge me, purge me, purge me, purge me, O Lord. Purge me, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Purge me, mighty God. Purge me, mighty God, in the name of Jesus. Purge me, purge me, purge me, purge, purge me, Lord. 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 Purge me, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, in the name of Jesus. The key to the success of the life of Joseph is one thing and one thing only. His focus was always God. His focus was always God. And all through his suffering, if you want to say it like that, God was ever present with him. My prayer for you is that you will be God-focused. You will not focus on people or focus on circumstances, but you will focus on God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. Daddy, to you alone be glory and honor, dominion and power forever and ever. In the name of Jesus. Lord, let your word that has been sown today, let it bear much fruit in every heart. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed by this message. We encourage you to fellowship with us here at Salvation Center if you are in the San Antonio area. For more information, visit our website at www.rccgsanantonio.org.